today we're once again Missionary Enterprise, Missionary Aid International. And of course, my name is Pat Bousset, and I'm here with David. And today we're live streaming once again on Facebook. This is going to be for also for a YouTube video. We're not actually going to be doing a YouTube live stream today, though. Of course, we do also Skype. We're on LinkedIn, we're on Twitter, Instagram, and we're getting set up a little bit to do some podcasting. So today, once again, this is under Operation Outreach, and today we're actually in Pickering, Ontario, Canada. So the key topic today is eternity and eternal life. That's the key topic. But before we get into the topic, I'm just going to give my little free introduction concerning the city of Pickering. And so the population back in 2016 was a little over 90,000. And it is a city located in southern Ontario, Canada, immediately east of Toronto. Toronto is right in front of me over here. And then in the Durham region, you can go right ahead, you walk right by. And it was occupied for centuries by the Iroquois, speaking Hurons, now known as Wyandots. So beginning in the 1717s, the year 1770, the area was settled by primarily ethnic British colonists. An increase in population occurred after the American Revolutionary War, when the Crown resettled loyalists and encouraged new immigration. So many of the smaller rural communities have been preserved and function as provincially significant historic sites and museums. So now we're going to start the bulk of the teaching right now. We just want to show a little bit. We're in the tunnel here that goes onto the other side of the 401. We're actually on the north side of the 401, and that's the south side of the 401, and this goes into the GO Pickering station, the bus station, the GO trains. So it's a pretty big station. So we're trying something a little bit different today. So bear with us. We're always trying to do something a little bit different. Just to add to the message, add to the scenery, the background, all these different things. So we want to get the Canadian flag in there. And then, so the introduction is this, is concerning the word eternity. The word eternity literally means endless time, perpetuity, timelessness, no end or no ending, without end, the end of time as we have known it concerning mankind, the history of mankind, forever, everlasting, time that never ends, never to cease, endlessness, and infinity. So my comment concerning this is that no more clocks. Once we're into eternity, whether heaven or hell, no more clocks, no more watches, no more calendars, no more day and night, no more hourglasses, and heaven as well as hell. That is all temporal. That is all carnal because of the fall of man, because God never intended for all of that before the fall of man, because God intended for man to live for eternity, and man will live for eternity. But man expected or intended for man to live eternally apart from the fall, without redemption and all that. A lot of people don't believe that. That's not my problem, that's their problem. So before I get into the Old Testament verses, I just want to read something here that the Lord gave me early this morning while I was in bed. I was half asleep, but I always keep my little digital recorder with me. Always have it with me, beside me, everywhere I go. So one of the key Hebrew definitions, okay, here. One of the key Hebrew definitions for our English word God is the word self-existing one, as well as the eternal one. And when it comes to the self-existing one, this carries the idea that God has always existed, meaning he did not come into existence like we did, meaning he is the uncreated one, not having been created whatsoever, also meaning that God did not need anyone to cause him to exist, meaning he exists on his own. Unlike us, mortal beings, who needed God to exist, meaning if it was not for God's existence, we would not exist. This came to me late last night, or I guess early this morning. We are not self-existing, needing God to exist, since he is the one that caused us to come into existence, meaning we did not come into existence on our own. If God did not exist, we would not exist. Either since he is the one that has brought us into existence out of non-existence when he created us. So my last point here, before we move on to the main bulk of the teaching, is that all atheists, etc., agnostics, whatever, don't believe in this. Yet the moment they die, they will. And they do believe it. Yet their belief will not profit nor benefit them whatsoever. All of their wrong beliefs, wrong mindsets, philosophies, ideologies will be shattered at that very moment. Shattered. Yet we, the church, need to shatter these wrong beliefs before they die. So remember, I teach these things in the context of Operation Outreach. Outreach what? Reaching out to the lost. All right, so let's move on here to I have two Old Testament key references. The first one is found in Isaiah. Isaiah 57:15 says, "For thus says the High and Lofty One, he who inhabits eternity, whose name is Holy." This is what God says. "I dwell in the high and holy place, but with him also who is a thoroughly penitent and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the thoroughly penitent, bruised with sorrow for sin." My next reference, Old Testament, before we move into the New Testament, is Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 33:27, Amplified. "The eternal God is your refuge and dwelling place, and underneath are the everlasting arms. He drove the enemy before you and thrust them out, saying, destroy." He is the eternal God. He is the one who inhabits eternity. Let's move on to the New Testament. Key references. Starting with Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew. Matthew 25:46. "Then they will go away into eternal punishment, but those who are just and upright and in right standing with God into eternal life." My comment is this. It is only one of two choices. There's only two choices. Eternal life with God in heaven, or eternal death and punishment with Satan in hell, the god of this world. My next reference here is in the Gospel of John. John 6:68. "Simon Peter answered, Lord, to whom shall we go? You, Lord, have the words of eternal life." Comment is this. Jesus was and is the Word, as well as eternal life, as well as the life, and so much more. Therefore, he alone has the words of eternal life. No one else has the words of eternal life but the Lord Jesus Christ, according to the Holy Bible. Because the Bible says, Jesus himself said, there are going to be many Christs, false Christs out there, coming in my name, in my place, to deceive the many. The Epistle to the Romans. chapter 1, verse 20. For ever since the creation of the world, His, God's invisible nature and attributes, that is, His eternal power and divinity, deity, have been made intelligible and clearly discernible in and through the things that have been made, His handiworks. So men are without excuse, altogether without any defense or justification. We are surrounded. I'm not talking about what God, man has made. I'm talking about what God has created. As in the universe, this planet, human beings, the beauty, the natural beauty, the animals, all these different things. The sky, the sun, all these different things prove the existence of God. It's His handiwork. He's the creator. Let's move on here to 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. Since we consider and look not to the things that are seen, but to the things that are unseen, the invisible. For the things that are visible are temporal, brief and fleeting, I say carnal. But the things that are invisible, deathless, and everlasting. My comment is this: the way you get your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your mind off of the temporal or off of the sense realm, what is seen, is by walking by faith. By getting your eyes, your ears, your mouth, your mind on God's Word, His words, and His promises. Let's move on to the Epistle of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 11. This is in accordance with the terms of the eternal and timeless purpose which He has realized and carried into effect in the person of Christ Jesus our Lord. My comment is this: everything that God has done, is doing, wants to do, is outside of chronological or carnal time as we know it. Because it is activated, is all activated and received by our believing, our faith. Everything God has done, at the cross, before the cross, the creation of mankind, must be received, must be believed. That's why the Word of God makes much about faith. What is faith? The God kind of faith. The faith of God. Not the faith of man. Not the faith of the religions out there. Not the faith of other faiths out there. No. The God kind of faith. What the Word of God says about faith and about God and about His creation. Let's move on to 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 17. Now to the King of eternity. I like that. Also incorruptible and immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. To the ages of ages, amen. So be it. Like they say in Swahili, Amina. Comment is this: God is not only eternal, but He owns eternity. Being called the self-existing one, which I touched on in my introduction, meaning He has always existed with no beginning nor any end, as well as uncreated. That's the God that I serve. Let's move on to the Epistle of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 9. And His completed experience making Him God, perfectly equipped, Jesus, He became the author and source of eternal salvation to all those who give heed and obey Him. My comment is this: No one else can offer mankind this eternal salvation. No one else but the Eternal One. Don't go looking for eternal salvation outside of the Word of God. Don't go looking for eternal salvation outside of the self-existing One. Don't go looking for eternal salvation outside of the Lord Jesus Christ that we read about in the Holy Bible. Don't go looking for it. Because you find it there, you've been deceived. You've been deceived. Still in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 2. With teachings about purifying, the laying on of hands, the resurrection from the dead, and eternal judgment and punishment. These are all matters of which you should have been fully aware of long ago. Common is this: punishment in the lake of fire is not temporal, but eternal. And even if it was temporal, God would still not want anybody to go there. But it is not temporal. It is eternal. Hebrews 9, chapter 9, verse 14. How much more surely shall the blood of Christ, who by virtue of his eternal spirit, his own pre-existence, divine personality, has offered himself as an unblemished sacrifice to God, purify our consciences from dead works and lifeless observances to serve the ever-living God, meaning setting you free from religion. Let's move on to, I think we're on the last page here, the Epistle to Jude. Is it okay to finish it here? Jude, verse 7. The wicked are sentenced to suffer just as Sodom and Gomorrah and the adjacent towns, which likewise gave themselves over to impurity and indulge in unnatural vice and sensual perversity, are laid out in plain sight as an exhibit of perpetual punishment. Perpetual meaning eternal punishment, to warn of everlasting fire. Everlasting, eternal fire. Common is this, back to what I said in Hebrews 6:2. My final comment is this before I let you go. You will live for eternity, whether you believe it or not. That's besides the point. You will live in eternity, for eternity, in one place, one location, or another, heaven or hell. It is your choice. Eternal life or eternal death. So I want to thank you once again for your time. I want to thank you for joining us when we do live streaming, whether it's outside or in our little mini studio in the basement of my home at this time. I want to thank you for everybody who follows us on Facebook, on Messenger, Skype, LinkedIn, Twitter, Instagram, especially lately on Instagram, YouTube, but even Instagram. We started putting small increments or small fragments of our videos on Instagram. And of course, a lot of our images that actually come from our website. So I want to thank you for your time, and I want to thank you to share these teachings that I do. I don't do them for myself. I do it for the church. We do it for the world. Missionary Enterprise, we don't take offerings. We don't ask for money. We don't ask for donations. We don't do none of that. No raising of money, no fundraising, none of that. We're totally free from that, so that we can do exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ wants us to do. I live by the George Mueller faith, where he never let anybody know about his needs, but he went to God, and he found out what God wanted him to do, and he believed God for the provision. And I'll be doing some teachings on that eventually. So I want to thank you for your time. Shalom.